Continuing a series of talks under the general title Radha Katha, discussing Radha's love for Krishna and Krishna's love for Radha. In one sense, it's not at all difficult to talk about this, to open one's mouth and articulate various words. And even if one has learned some verses, can recite some verses from scripture in this regard, and if one has grasped theoretically various concepts, one can speak on them. And it's nice. It makes us feel happy. But at the same time, I feel somewhat sad also, because or distressed, in as much as knowing to be like the bee buzzing around on the outside of the jar of honey, but not being able to get at the inside. You know there's something very good there, but you can't access it. Why? Because we can talk of love. We use the word love. We know, theoretically, that the love of Radha and Krishna is supreme and transcendental. But at the same time, we can't really begin to understand, because our conception of love, our whole conception of life, is so much full of lust and anger and greed and ultimately envy. Envy and love do not go together. We are in this world, why? Krishna Bahir, yes, I said we can recite some verses, but they're important verses. Krishna Bahir Mukhoya Bhogavancha Kore Nikatasta Mayatare Japatiya Dhari. Becoming envious of Krishna, deliberately turning our face away from Krishna, we desire material enjoyment. And Maya is there to catch us, which she does very effectively. So real love, we don't know what is love. Real love means there's no envy, and which means there's no lust, anger, no bad qualities. Although it's difficult to understand it as much as lust, anger, even envy may appear to be present in the pastimes of Vrindavan. But it is the same word is used to describe, the word, the sound is used, just like we have the word krodha for anger. So that may be used for the demons. Also, the demoniac anger, just like in Gita, one of the characteristics of demoniac people is mentioned, kama krodha parayanaha. They are attached to their lust and their anger. They're habituated to it, and not in just one lifetime, but many, many lifetimes. So the same words are used, but how pure is that love of Radha and Krishna? It is beyond our ability to understand. Avang manasa gochara, the Vedic message is that all of this is beyond words, we can describe it. By the mind, we can try to understand it, but actually we can't access it by the words and the mind. It's by the mercy of Radha and Krishna, who come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of their mercy, he has come. Anarpita chiring chirat karunya vatirno kalo samapiyatamunutuj valarasang swabhakti shriyam. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna, come combined out of his great mercy in Kali Yuga, where these lust and greed and envy and all that is exacerbated it's insane, but a completely insane degree. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and presents, here is the love of Radha and Krishna. We have to be free from envy. Real love means no envy. No envy. We're so thickly ensconced in our envy, we can hardly even recognize it. Just like a fish swimming in the water, he doesn't know he's in the water. Yeah, the fish is living in water. He doesn't know what water is. He didn't get a PhD in aquatic studies or piscology or any such thing. So in the same way, we're like that. We're swimming like a fish. Stupid, no brain, in the ocean of envy. Real love means no envy. We can begin to hear about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna when we have at least started with the endeavor to dislodge that envy from our hearts. Cheto Dharapana Marjanam, the cleaning process of chanting the holy names. What is that cleaning process? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. We will pray that with a utmost sincerity, from inside all these coverings of lust and anger and greed and pride and illusion, we call out. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu calls out to us, Jeev Jago, Gaurachanda Bole, Koto Nidra, Jaumaya Pishachira Kole. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu calls out to us, wake up, sleeping soul, how long will you remain on the lap of the witch called Maya. Enechi oshodhi Maya nashibaro lagi. Harinama maha mantra lao tumi magi. I brought for you the medicine for destroying material consciousness. It is the Hare Krishna mantra. Take it with begging. It means humility. Humility and envy, they also don't go together. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu calls, and that pierces through the coverings of our consciousness. Srila Prabhupada, as the representative of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, chants the holy names. Srila Prabhupada had the prescience to get a tape recorder when he had no money practically. He scraped together what was a lot of money for him to get a tape recorder. We can hear his recorded kirtans. Musically, they're not in the... they're perfect, but not the kind of thing that people would pay a lot of money, just like they could pay a lot of money to go see an opera or a symphony orchestra, or more likely a some rock concert nowadays. So it's not in the top league of music, in the sense that it's what would appeal to connoisseurs of music. But it pierces, Srila Prabhupada's voice pierces. The connection with Krishna is so strong. It's like a laser ray for piercing through our dense coverings of ignorance and passion, and even there might even be a little bit of goodness, pierces through all that, makes a soul-to-soul connection. And if we reach out, we can begin to be purified. We have to be free from envy to begin to hear. I'm planning future talks on Vishnu Sahasranam coming up after almost 100 names. it may be quite some months before I get around to it, is Priyarha. Then a name which lends itself to discussion of love of God. So I plan to discuss this topic more in detail there, because we want to talk specifically Radha Katha. How will we speak Radha Katha? Well, we can quote Srila Prabhupada talking about envy and Radharani. The two don't go together. Srila Prabhupada wrote, "We should utilize our talents without being envious of others. You should do your best, but you should not be envious of others. In material life, there is simply envy of others' progress. But in spiritual life, one encourages another." Oh, you are doing very nice. That is Radharani. She says, "Oh, here is a very nice devotee. Please, Krishna, you accept him." This is, now I'll read from another letter from Srila Prabhupada, speaking about transcendental envy. Srila Prabhupada writes, "Transcendental jealousy is not wrong, but it is absolute. In the transcendental world, there are jealous parties also, like the party of Radharani and the party of Satyabhama. Radharani and Satyabhama are always jealous of one another, but the center is Krishna. There are many material examples also." Srila Prabhupada gives the example. One example, "There are many political parties in a state, but in spite of all political jealousies, they are one in serving the state." At least theoretically. And that was the general supposition at the time when Srila Prabhupada wrote this. Nowadays, not so many people are sure. They are one in serving the state. Anyway, the analogy is clear. They are one in serving the state. Similarly, Krishna being the center, all competition and jealousies for serving Krishna the best is always absolute, provided such jealousies do not come down to the material plane. Profound analysis. Another one on lack of envy and the love of Radharani. Quote from Srila Prabhupada. "Radharani and the gopis are on the same status, but the gopis know that Radharani is the better worshipper than us." That we read yesterday. The gopis say, "Anaya radhito nunam bhagavan haririshvaraha." She has certainly worshipped the Supreme Lord better than all others. They know, the gopis know, that Radharani is the better worshipper than us. Therefore, their only business is how to take Radharani and join with Krishna. Because their business is to serve Krishna. Their business, as Srila Prabhupada used this word in like this. The gopis want to serve Radha and Krishna. Now, they don't think, "Well, I'm also a nice young girl. I can enjoy with Krishna." But they think, no, Krishna is better worshipped by Radha. She can please him better than I can, so let us take Radha to Krishna. Their only business is how to take Radharani and join with Krishna. This is Vaikuntha understanding. Of course, we understand the world of Radha and Krishna is far above Vaikuntha, but the point is that Vaikuntha is the beginning stage where there is no envy. One cannot enter Vaikuntha if one has any envy. As that came out in the discussion of the four Kumaras speaking to Jaya and Vijaya. "What are you doing here? You shouldn't be here behaving like that. You don't belong here at all." So this is Vaikuntha understanding. They are not envious that Krishna loves Radharani so much and they are envious. No, no, not at all. They want it that Krishna loves Radharani so much and Radharani loves. They simply try to join them. And they are happy. Oh, Krishna and Radharani now joined together. That is their happiness. That is Vaikuntha appreciation. From far, far below, we say this. How can we even discuss it? What do we even know about love? Well, this we can understand at least philosophically, as Srila Prabhupada taught. I'm reading a quote from Srila Prabhupada again. Krishna has got the loving propensity. We have got the loving propensity. Wherefrom this love has come? Because Krishna loves Radharani, and we are part and parcel of Krishna. Therefore, we have learned how to love. We have the propensity to love because Krishna has the propensity to love. But what we call in this world love is all messed up. And in the modern age, it's more and more and more messed up. More and more messed up. Love means my enjoyment. Love means sex. And then which sex are you? You're a boy, you want to be a girl, okay. And it's very, very mixed up and people are very, very confused and suffering. Love in this material world simply leads to suffering. And the more we try to facilitate that, for instance, by sex change operations, thinking that we'll be happier in a different situation of love. That's what it comes down to. What is my sexual identity, my gender identity? That defines me, and I don't like it, then I'll change it, because it's all about me. That's the attitude of people, but they get more and more messed up and further and further away from Krishna. So we have to learn how to love. Here it said we've learned how to love. We have that basic propensity. But we need to learn how to love. We need to learn how to love. You think, well, love is natural. Well, on YouTube, you can see videos about how to breathe properly, how to walk properly. You think, well, I know how to breathe. I know how to walk, how to stand properly. I know how to stand. But there are people who teach you how to do it properly or in a better way than you have learned so that you can, in all these cases, breathing, standing, walking, so that you'll be more fit physically, mentally. So we have to learn to love by hearing about love from those who actually know what it is, from experts. There are people who are experts in teaching how to walk properly so that you don't mess up your whole musculoskeletal system, which most people do, apparently. So we need to learn to love, and by hearing the message of Godhead thou hast brought from the acharyas, by hearing from Srila Prabhupada, what is love? This is Srila Prabhupada. I'm again going to read from Srila Prabhupada an excerpt from his utterances, speaking about the love of Radha for Krishna. This is actually from Srila Prabhupada's translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Radha's mood of love for Krishna. If Krishna, attracted by the beauty of some other woman, wants to enjoy with her but is unhappy because he cannot get her, I fall down at his feet and say, take me instead. No, I fall down at her feet, catch her hand and bring her to Krishna to engage her for his happiness. If a gopi, envious of me, satisfies Krishna and Krishna desires her, I shall not hesitate to go to her house and become her maidservant, for then my happiness will be awakened. My happiness is in the service of Krishna, and Krishna's happiness is in union with me. For this reason, I give my body in charity to the lotus feet of Krishna, who accepts me as his loved one and calls me his most beloved. It is then that I consider myself his maidservant. So this is a paraphrase and an expansion of the famous verse spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radharani. Ashlishava padaratang pinashtuma madarshanan marmahatam kurutuva yata tata va vidadha tu lampato mad prana natas tu saeva naparaha. I know no one but Krishna, but my Lord, and he shall remain so even if he makes me broken-hearted by not being present before me or tramples me underfoot. He is completely free to do anything and everything with me, for I am his servant unconditionally, unconditional love. Not that if you reject me, I stop loving you. I stop loving you. Here's a quote from Srila Rupa Goswami's Radhashtakam. Just to try to give some idea. We're trying to accommodate it. Really, is it something? This is not really food for the mind, it's food for the soul. It may be hard for the soul to digest because we're not properly tuned into our real spiritual reality, but it's good to hear. It's very good to hear these things. I'm reading from Rupa Goswami's Radhashtakam. Haripada nakakoti prishta paryanta sima tatamapi kalayantim pranakotarabhishtam. Sri Radhika considers the tip of Sri Hari's toenail millions of times more dear than her own life. Radha, Krishna love, means parakya love, in the mood of adultery, to put it frankly. We say in the mood of, to couch it in language in which it can be better understood, that this is for the sake of rasa. There's nothing really wrong. But as far as Radha and Krishna themselves are concerned, and all the assistants of Radha in these pastimes, it is out and out straightforward adultery. That's what makes it all the more pleasing. As far as everyone is concerned, Radha is a married woman, not married to Krishna. And Krishna indulges in, again using frank, straightforward terms, erotic activities with her. It is most intense love due to this. There's the element of risk, not just of being caught, but the risk of going to hell for sinful activities. That's people who are living in this world and who engage in adultery. They, if they are at least superficially living in the Vedic culture, they know, they hear the Puranic descriptions, they know that for sin you have to be punished. Everyone's heard narrations from Garuda Purana, because everyone's attended a cremation ceremony where it's read out all the bad things you do, the kind of future it makes for you. But still they do it. It's being impelled by strong desire. So we can use these terms. It's shocking. Shocking to say these words. The love of Radha for Krishna. But that's what it is. But then why reveal it? Why reveal it? Why say? Why should we talk about these things? People will misunderstand. That's again why we have Bhagavad Gita first. Why reveal it? Well, there's a good reason. There is a good reason. We have to go to Vidagdha Madhava for that. Rupa Goswami, his writings. Vrinda Devi says to Purnamasi, Harir Esha Nached Avatarishan Maturayang Madhurakshi Radhikacha Abhavishyad Iyang Vrita Visrishtiya Makarankas Tu Visheshatas Tadatra. O Purnamasi, if Lord Hari had not descended in Mathura with Srimati Radharani, this entire creation, and especially Cupid, the demigod of love, would have been useless. Just I was discussing in Vishnu Sahasranam, the name Nivritatma, which gives the understanding that although Krishna is everywhere, he's all-pervasive, he owns everything, he controls everything, but he's not attached to anything. That is the principal meaning of the name Nivritatma from Vishnu Sahasranam. He's not attached to anything. What is the reason for that? Why does he create all of this? And Eko Bahu Syam, the one became many. Why? What is the point for all of that? Well, we get a clue from the Bhagavad Gita. Again, Bhagavad Gita in Radha Katha. Rasavarjang Rasopyasya Parangdrishtva Nivartate. When one is attached to the higher thing and experiences the taste of a higher rasa, then he's not attached to anything lower. So, as Shakespeare said, all the world is a stage. All the creation, we learned just now from Vidagdha Madhava, all the creation is a stage for the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. All the avatars, Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narasimha, Vamana, so on, they're all props which illustrate the ultimate glory of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. That's why Srila Jayadeva Goswami, before beginning his Gita Govinda, describing the love of Radha and Krishna, he first sings his Dashavata Stotram. Keshava Dhritta Dashavidha Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare, describing the 10 prominent, well-known avatars of the Lord, and saying that Srinu Sukhadam Shubhadam Bhavasaram, definitely hearing about this, hearing about these 10 avatars, that will bring happiness and auspiciousness in this world of repeated birth and death. Just establishing Keshava Dhritta, this Keshava who has such beautiful hair. Why does Krishna have beautiful hair? Why? You want to say why? Everything, why? It's all for love. It's to attract Radha. And he has to have a hair to put the peacock feather. Bahavapidam Natavaravapu. As he goes into the forest, the gopis, they see Krishna with the peacock feather stuck in his hair. So all this, even the avatars, they're simply to highlight how glorious are the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So, rasovajang rasopyasya parangdrishva nivartat. Because Krishna is so attached to Radha, he's not attached to anything else. He's so attached. He has a higher taste. And of course, he does his duty as Vishnu, overseeing everything. He takes the 10 avatars to maintain the universe, and he has fun with his devotees. It's not that the avatars are just, we're saying they're props, but props for Radha Krishna Lila, it's no small thing. The 10 avatars, we take great pleasure, Shrinu Sukadam, we take great pleasure in hearing about them. But then, if we attain little insight into the vision of the devotees in Vrindavan, then we will find that even the four-handed Narayan form does not impress the gopis. And even Lakshmi, she's sitting on the other side of the Yamuna up to today, but she cannot cross to the place where the pastimes of Radha and Krishna go on in full swing in Vrindavan. Krishna is detached from everything else. He is madly in love. A person who's madly in love forgets everything else. It happens in this world, but it doesn't last very long. However beautiful the girl is, however well suited they are with each other, you can do astrological matching, but that feeling of love that is awarded by Maya so that a man can and a woman can become very strongly united in Maya, that doesn't last very long, but it's enough to get them attached to each other. Pungsastriya mituni bhavametam tayoraho hridya grantim ahuhu. Ato griha kshetra sutapta vitair janasya mohoya mahammameti. The binding force in this material world is the attraction between male and female. Makes a strong knot on the heart, and then from that develops the attachment for and from the attachment to wife, and then attachment to home, attachment to country, a country attachment to property, to money, to children, to relatives, to society. And in this way, one is bound in an illusion of thinking of I and mine. But Radha and Krishna's love is just the opposite. Krishna is fully absorbed in Radha, therefore detached from this world. But his love for Radha doesn't die out. Rather, it increases at every moment. It's already way off the radar. It's beyond our power to even think about. Just like if we think, can we even think of 10 to the power, raised to the power of 20 billion? We can't. If we think of anything, eggs, carrots, inches, how many? 10 raised to the power of 20 billion. We can't even think of 20 billion eggs, what to speak. It's just 10 raised. We can say the number, and theoretically maybe we could do some equations with such large numbers. But it's beyond our power of imagination. So Krishna's love for Radha, Radha's love for Krishna, is beyond our power of imagination, But then it just keeps on increasing more and more and more and more. So you may think, well, it's really hard to understand all these topics of the gopis. It's getting more difficult because it's getting more and more intense. It's already unlimitedly intense. Only God could handle such intensity. That's why he's God. Now we understood. He's God because he's the most beautiful, okay, the most opulent, yeah, the most powerful. He creates, destroys, maintains. Okay, all right. That's why he's God. But this is the real evidence that he's God, that he can be the lover of Radha, and his love for her increases, and no one can even begin to imagine how great is that love. We couldn't do, we'd have a loving nervous breakdown. It's just beyond our capacity to handle. That's why it's not so easy to enter Radha Krishna Lila. Say, I want to be a gopi, and I'll comb the hair of Radharani and paint her feet with altar, that red lac dye. It's not so easy. It takes, we might say, a lot of mental strength, but it's not mental strength. It's not really spiritual. It's not really strength at all. It's the capacity to love. And it's just, if we can develop that, that's by great mercy. But otherwise, Durgam Vrindavan, that is stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, very difficult to go to. Even in the mind, thinking about it, we can think of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. We can imagine some cartoon Krishna. I don't like this cartoon Krishna. I think it's very offensive. It portrays Krishna as so profound, so worshipable as some cartoon figure. Not good. Not good at all. Actually, it's very offensive. We shouldn't show this. Don't show this to your children. It's very bad. So, it's all this worshipable pastimes. And it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. He says, you can't enter there. You can't even get out of this material world. What to speak of going beyond the Brahma Jyoti, beyond the Vaikuntha planets, beyond Ram's Ayodhya, beyond Dwaraka, beyond Mathura, beyond Vrindavan. There's no beyond, but beyond the status of a grass in Vrindavan. You can go all the way up to Gopi Leela. Brahma Adurlabha Prem. Brahma can't do that. Shiva Shuka Narada, they have a, they, what are they doing? Preme Gada Gada. They're choking in ecstasy just thinking about it. And we're being invited to go there. That's possible by mercy. Otherwise, we don't have any capacity even to begin to think about it. What is the love of Radha and Krishna? Let's try to think about it. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to this world and he has empowered Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to describe him, it's meant for us. Srila Prabhupada came to the West and gave us Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's meant for us. But carefully. Go carefully. Go carefully. Don't take it as something cheap, cartoon figure. Don't take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a cartoon character. All right, so let's read from Chaitanya Charitamrita, describing one characteristic or a central characteristic of Sri Radha. Krishna mai Krishna ja bhitare baire jaha jaha netra pade taha Krishna sphure. One name of Radharani is Krishna mai, and usually Hindi speakers, when they hear this, they may get a little surprised, because Mai is a name for women. Yashoda Mai, for instance. But no, this is a, that's a Hindi word. That's Hindi, it's upper, derived from Sanskrit mata. But it's Krishna Mayi, in, it's a Sanskrit term, which means full of Krishna. She is as if composed of Krishna. Krishna is her inside and her outside. She's fully composed. Of course, Srimati Radharani's body is fully spiritual, but by way of analogy, we can say that every cell of her body is surcharged with intense love for Krishna. And jaha jaha netra pare taha Krishna sphure. So she only sees Krishna. Wherever her eyes fall, she only sees Krishna. Similarly, we can say about Krishna. This is not a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'm just turning it around. But it's definitely true. We can describe Krishna thus. Radha mahi radha ja bhitare bhaire jaha jaha netra pare taha radha swure. That Krishna, he's fully composed of Radha, inside and outside. And wherever his eyes fall, he sees Radha. Krishna, after all, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it has its advantages. Sarvata Panipadam Tat Sarvatokshi Shiromukham. His eyes, his hands, his legs are everywhere. So he sees everywhere. But he sees Radha everywhere. He can see Radha from the front, from behind, from above, from below, from the sides. But by the power of his own orchestrator of loving pastimes, Yogamaya, he feels separation when not in her presence, as he doesn't want to just see her, but he wants to touch her and taste her and smell her and feel her and be with her and see the looks in her eyes. Sometimes she looks at Krishna with fear, sometimes with anger, sometimes in a laughing mood. Krishna is a dancing doll in the hands of Radha. Sometimes. And sometimes he acts apparently very cruelly to her. So he has so many. Sarvata Parnipadam Tat Sarvatokshi. His eyes are everywhere. Sarvatokshi Shiro Mukham. His mouths are everywhere, because with his mouths he wants to glorify her, to talk with her, to joke with her. He likes to play pranks on her. Sometimes he even wrestles with her. That's described in the Goswami literature. Sounds very dangerous. You've got the power of the whole universe and the source of the power, the Shakti and the Shaktiman, and they are wrestling. It's very, very dangerous. This could shatter all the universes. Who will win? What happens if she conquers? If he conquers over her and she conquers over him, then yin and yang go out of balance, isn't it? On a cosmic scale, disaster. But they both win, because it all ends in a kiss of love. Everything is resolved. It's wrestling, not with the desire to hurt, but it's the perennial tension between yin and yang. The male principle and the female principle. It's all resolved in Radha and Krishna. Who will win? Who will win? Who can say if there's a wrestling match? And there is It's going on right now because pastimes of Krishna are going on in one universe, somewhere, all his pastimes. Who will win? Who can say? Who is stronger, Radha or Krishna? He must be stronger. He's the male. She's a weak female. She's not such a weak female. The mighty Durga is simply her expansion. Who will win? Who do you want to win? Whose side are you on? Well, everyone is the winner. Both Radha and Krishna win, and we win also by remembering, thinking of this. Again, I didn't hear that from Srila Prabhupada about Radha and Krishna wrestling, but it's in the Goswami's books. And again, it's not that we're going to go and give a talk in a university about Radha and Krishna wrestling. We'll speak Bhagavad Gita. And these talks, we may talk Radhashtami. We may talk throughout the year about all these things. Who's qualified to talk on this? Who's qualified to hear about it? But on the other hand, if we don't speak about it, then what is the purpose of the creation? As we heard from Vidagdha Madhava. There's so, so much more to say. Tomorrow is Radhashtami, Krishna willing, Radha willing. I'll speak some more at that time. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nithaya churna kung padayon nipatya kritvacha kaku shatameta daham ravimi. He sadhava sakla eva vihaya durat goranga chandra charne kuruta nuraga. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nano mokarona vayang vicharayama. Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilotama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.